the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a magnificent Monday today. It's good and busy around here at Health Masters in Central Florida. So, yeah, it's been really a good weekend. Hope you guys had a good time. Got a lot of very interesting stories for you today. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Oh, I'm doing great. I just had a very dear friend of mine that I've been doing TV with for over 30 years, Herman and Sharon Bailey. They have the Herman Bailey Show on with CTN, which is a Christian CCB and Christian Broadcast Network, and they literally have like 59 or 60 million households the show goes into, and they were here pretty much at the office, at my house, my home office, all day shooting two shows. You guys can watch that before the end of the year. They'll probably be airing right around Christmas time. So it was a lot of fun. We actually set up a couple of places in my office and had some shoots. And I know you were part of that, Austin, and you actually came in and talked to them about exercise and working out. And so showing them a few exercises to do. So we had a blast. We'll see how the shows turn out. And I'm sure they're going to be pretty good because all the stuff that Herman does turns out well. We had a full camera crew in here with all these multiple cameras and switching stations. So it was a while just getting it set up and set down. And then, of course, we got to turn my office AC on 55 to cool it way down here because of the lights. So that was nice, and so I'm still sitting in a sub-zero tundra office, which I personally like. Now, my wife won't come in here for a bit until it warms up, but I had a wonderful day. We had good friends. We had a great lunch with Sharon. We had this incredible gingerbread cookies that she's got the recipe for, and then she made this really good taco soup without tomatoes in it. And it was unbelievable. Herman literally had three bowls of the soup. I mean, you and I were both watching him like, wow, Herman, this is a lot of soup, but I hope you enjoy this. Oh, man, it's the best soup ever. And so that's how my wife cooks. And I told the crew that when we had done eating, I said, is there anything here you didn't like? They said, man, it was incredible. I said, this is how health food is supposed to taste. I'm going to repeat that. Health food is supposed to taste good. If you cook health food good, it tastes great. Gone are the days of the broccoli nut surprises and things that absolutely taste horrible that nobody wants to eat. You can eat food that is incredibly healthy and incredibly tasty and never know you missed junk food because it tastes that good. And then you'll literally get a taste for it. And then when you have junk food, you'll be like, gosh, I don't even want to eat this stuff. It's nasty. I've been on many airplanes, Austin. You can't get it upgraded into first class or business class. You're stuck in the back. And if they even have food, they bring you something that's been cooked in a microwave with a plastic wrap over it, and they bring it out. It looks like something you'd feed the dogs. And I can't tell you, I said, I've told them so many times, I wouldn't feed this food to my animals, much less me eat it. No, thank you. I don't want this. Please take this away. Now, guys, I know that sounds kind of harsh, but, you know, airplane food is just awful. And I've been on so many airplanes because I've traveled so much that I learned a long time ago, if you want to stay healthy and keep your gut in good shape, avoid airplane food. So, yeah, what's your first story, Oz?
Well, the first one's another one again on DHA or omega-3 fats, one of the key proponents in omega-3 fats. They've done, again, yet another scientific study on college students and found that DHA is crucial to the health of brain neurotransmitters, cognitive function, and a positive mood. Now, it sounds like I've talked about these articles repeatedly, and quite frankly, because I have, because they continue to come out with new research studies and new clinical trials and simple things to really figure out how important omega-3 fats are. And this is why I bring it up, guys, because I've told you repeatedly on the show that omega-3 fats and B vitamins are two of the most crucial nutrients that you need in your diet on a regular basis. Hence why we have the Basic Healthy Lifestyle Kit with our multiple, our B-complex, and our omega-3. These are very, very key components of really, really good brain functioning. And people that we talk to on the phone, they have issues with memory, they have issues with trying to focus, they have issues overall in any type of aspects of their life. A lot of times, not always, but a lot of times, omega-3 deficiencies, B vitamin deficiencies are a significant issue. Here's the beginning of the article. They said low DHA levels are associated with high levels of hostility and anger. Here's another aspect of it. People that seem to be anxious all the time, very angry, very hostile about stuff. They said while the benefits of omega-3 include very even-keeled and constant moods, a new study testing students for increased angry, hostile behavior close to final exam time in college was found. And they found up to 65% of the kids were more aggressive if they were not taking DHA or omega-3 supplements. The studies also showed that taking DHA supplements significantly supported the brain's hippocampus and optimal neurotransmitter release. The DHA is associated with improved neuroplasticity and the brain's ability to repair itself. This can also help to preserve memory as well as reverse age-related memory loss. We see a lot of this with dementia, Alzheimer's, and we see all the time that omega-3 fats are a very, very crucial part of those nutrient stacks that they need to be on. On top of that, DHA or omega-3s help out significantly with cognitive functioning, reducing mental illness issues, lowering risk of destructive, addictive behaviors. Also, they found, they said, because it helps supports key roles in neurotransmitter levels by dopamine and serotonin, DHA can help with reducing the risk of being compelled to engage in addictive behaviors. This is why so many times we've talked about people that are coming off of Schedule II drugs like opiates or having an issue with alcohol. Omega-3 fats in their diet, fish oil, have to be super, super high while they're going through withdrawals and trying to reduce their need for a lot of these addictive compounds. It also, too, has been shown to reduce harmful brain inflammation as well, and also helps issues with depression and PTSD and memory loss. So this article says, I'm quoting. So, guys, it's just another factor that I tell you. If you got somebody or you yourself are having issues with memory, having issues with anxiety, hostility, I'm not saying this is the catch-all fix, so I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is before you go rush to the doctor and go get on Prozac, Zoloft, Xanax, some type of other compound they want to put you on that's definitely not going to be healthy for you, try some high dose of omega-3 fats. We have the capsules. We have our old-fashioned liquid. We also have the fermented cinnamon that actually tastes halfway decent, has stevia and cinnamon extract added to it. And those are all really easy supplements to take on a regular basis that I've seen have really, really good results with overall brain health, Deb.
Well, you're absolutely correct. I know when Mike Florentino came over to see me, gosh, it's been close to 10 years ago now. His son had just died. He was having a really hard time with depression. You know, he wasn't eating right. He wasn't sleeping right. He wasn't taking the right supplements. In fact, he wasn't taking any supplements, and he wasn't eating organic. And I sat down with him. I had a good friend of mine brought him over to meet me for the very first time. And I told Mike, I said, you know, if you feed your brain the nutrients that it needs, it'll start feeling really good. I mean, now we know that there are all kinds of B vitamins, B12, B6, all these different types of B, methylated Bs. If you don't get enough of them, your brain doesn't work right. You start getting schizoid, basically. You start getting kind of weird. And they found that repeatedly, that when you start doing the proper B vitamins that are methylated, you can reduce a lot of anxiety, massively increase energy levels. You stack that with 5-HTP, which we have a healthy brain protocol on our website, and you throw in some cod liver oil or some of the fermented cod liver oil, and you just use those products and some B vitamins, B complex, and throw multiple in there too to make sure you're getting your trace minerals in. Wow, bam, bingo, got it. Man, you start feeling so good so fast, you really don't even know what to do with yourself. You have so much energy. So guys, listen to me for a second. If you want to have really good energy and you want to have really good brain cognition, take those nutrients on a regular basis. They make a huge, huge difference. Now, also remember, there are other things you can take for your health, but this is specifically rated for your brain and get your brain booted up and get your brain doing good. Now, we've got a new product out also. We just released it. It's called Health Masters Super Brain Formula, right? What's it called? I forgot what it's called.
Super Brain Food. We just got it in.
We just got it in. In fact, we did the TV show on that today. And that product has got all kinds of nutrients to specifically reduce cortisol levels and reduce stress. And if you want something that's going to make you think as clear as a bell on a Christmas night, it's 50 degrees up in the Alpine Mountains, I'm telling you what, guys, that's it. Okay, that's the formula that you need to take. I take it on a regular basis. We've been working on it now for several months, trying to get it tuned in and tweaked in. That thing is tweaked and tuned now, and it works absolutely great. By the way, Trump now is saying that Amazon has a huge antitrust problem. He said Thursday that Amazon, the world's biggest online retailer, has a huge antitrust problem. In an interview on Fox News, the presumptive GOP presidential candidate, why is he presumptive? I mean, this is CNBC. Oh, they're trying to say that he may not get it yet. Okay, whatever. So that Amazon executive Jeff Bezos, that's that weirdo I was telling you that I heard on Oprah years ago, who owns the Washington Post, is using a newspaper to influence politicians in Washington to help Amazon on taxes. This Washington Post is owned as a toy by Jeff Bezos, who controls Amazon. Amazon is getting away with murder tax-wise. He's using the Washington Post for power so the politicians in Washington don't tax Amazon like they should be taxed, Trump said. Wow. So it looks like Trump may be going after an antitrust suit against Amazon. See, years ago with AT&T, they were busted for antitrust too, Austin. And everybody said, because they could just, oh, Austin, you don't remember this, you were young. They could rape you on long distance calls. They could rape you on everything. It was, you had to use them. They called them Ma Bell, and you pretty much had, they were the only phone supplier nationwide that was actually functional. They came in, I believe it was under Reagan, if I remember right, and he broke those guys up and just said, no more, no more, no more, and just tore them all to pieces, opened up like, you know, then that's where you got the Sprint and the T-Mobile. All these different companies came from that. They made it capable of penetrating the market because AT&T would come in, and same thing with utility companies, and say, hey, we own the telephone lines, we own the power lines, we own all this stuff. You can't use them. Well, the problem is it's the consumers that paid for these with these fixed assets as far as this what's called infrastructure for all of this, and the consumers, you know, it was all regulated, paid for, and the government came and said, wait a minute, anybody can use them. This is paid for by the American population because of the taxes and everything else they pay on all these bills. So no, we're not going to allow you to say they can't use a telephone pole or they can't use a telephone line. And so they deregulated Ma Bell, broke her up into a bunch of different pieces, and that's why now you can go to some companies like, you know, T-Mobile or other companies and get really good rates. I don't use Verizon at all anymore because I had a billing discrepancy with the Verizon, you know, last year, and it's been nothing but a nightmare trying to get it resolved with those guys. And so I would never, ever, ever use Verizon. And if you look at their customer service ratings, it's always like one star, one star, one star, one star, because again, they have a good coverage and they've used that to basically force people to stay with them, and then if you try to leave them for any reason whatsoever, you get nailed with all kinds of penalties and fees. Guys, it shouldn't be that way. And if Trump will deregulate or will regulate Amazon and break them up into 20 or 30 subsidiary companies, it'll make a big difference. Now, Teddy Roosevelt, he did that with Standard Oil with Rockefeller, broke it up into a bunch of different pieces. The problem was Rockefeller still owned the majority of all of the pieces. And so his revenue actually went up from the breakup of Standard Oil back in the early 1900s. So we'll have to make sure that we have enough other companies come in who can be competitive with fighting against Amazon. What do you think, Austin? Because Amazon's a tough one to compete against because of their second-day free shipping.
Amazon's a whole other animal, unlike anything we've seen on online retail at all. They really are. They're the first of its kind because they've literally expanded into every single market they could put their hands on. Now they've already started their grocery line on Amazon where you literally go on there and pick what groceries you want. They send them to you next day or second day air on ice. So Amazon is literally trying to become a monopoly on everything because they have some of the best prices with everything online, and they don't regulate them at all. What I mean by that is they don't care if somebody goes in and buys out a store of a product and then they put it on the Amazon site and completely undercut every single other retailer that's on there, then Amazon actually encourages the other retailers to try and beat their price of the lowest price they just put on there, even though the company that just bought out all those products may be selling them for less than everybody else can even buy them, even less than what manufacturing cost is. Doesn't matter. Amazon even tries to get you to continue to compete from that, and then if they have enough of it, they'll send it to Amazon Fulfillment and give it Prime, which gives you free two-day shipping, and they've even been able to get the post office contracted to deliver on Sundays. And I think, and from what I've read, that's the first time in history we've ever had a huge company be able to fully contract regular Sunday deliveries from the United States Postal Service. So yes, Amazon is a whole other animal from what it's done right now, and it's very, very difficult for a lot of online retailers to even compete anymore. I've talked to multiple manufacturers that we know that we've worked with in the past, and they borderline won't even let people sell their products on Amazon if they sell it. So if we're selling it to a retailer, if we find that you put our product on Amazon, you're immediately cut off. We'll never do business with you again. There's a lot of companies that are doing that now because they want to completely get away from Amazon because of what they promote and what they do. On one side, yes, it's good for the overall consumer, but on the back side of it, it completely ruins all the manufacturers when you have companies come in like that and sell stuff for under cost just to move inventory with no regulation. So, yeah, if Amazon, the problem is Amazon's not slowing down, Dad. It's getting bigger, and it's getting bigger because of what they offer. They offer really good things as far as what consumers want. And it, like I said, it's good for consumers, really bad for manufacturers. So there's going to have to be some type of medium point with Amazon eventually, because what they're doing is not going to be sustainable for a manufacturer standpoint. It may always be good for consumers, but eventually it's going to reach a point where manufacturers are going to say, we're done. Nothing on Amazon, period, as a lot of them are already doing, like I said. But if they all start doing that, Amazon's going to eventually collapse from that aspect. So I don't know, but I definitely think we need an overhaul with Amazon eventually, or else they're going to completely dominate the online retail market.
Well, they've taken over from Walmart is what's happened.
Exactly. You know, they've taken the same idea.
They've taken, and it's called the wheel of retailing and marketing. You have one organization come in, they cut costs, cut expenses, cut overhead, cut this, cut that, and then they take over the market share. And Walmart did this initially. Now Amazon's doing it to Walmart. And, you know, and so what ends up happening is sooner or later the consumer has to buy stuff online. Let me give you an example. Let's say I have a pen, a real nice ink pen, a really fancy ink pen that costs $10 to manufacture. It costs $10 to manufacture the pen. And the retail on that pen is, you know, $30. Okay. And I sell it to my distributor for $15. He keystones it. He charges 30 for it, so he gets a $10-$30 out. So he makes $20 on the spread, or $15 on the spread. I make $5 on it because I'm the manufacturer. Now, the problem occurs is if you get a distributor who comes in and negotiates the price point, and they say, well, I'm going to buy 10,000 of your pens. I'm going to take an entire run, but I want them for $12 a piece. And you look at the thing and you say, well, I can make $2 a piece. It'll be an easy sale. So you said, okay, I'll sell them to you for $12 a piece. They turn around and they got 10,000 pens and they mark them at $14 on Amazon plus free shipping. However they do that, that's what they do. And you're like, what the heck just happened? Now they're selling these pens for a couple of dollars over cost. They're making a dollar or whatever after they pay their shipping on it. But they're doing, you know, 10,000 of them in a day. So now they've sold 10,000 pens and they made $10,000 an hour. But now all the retailers that sold that product are out of business. So now Amazon can come to the manufacturer and say, you're going to lower your price even more because if you don't, we're going to stop carrying your pen. And, you know, we want to buy them for $10.50 a piece and we're going to sell them for $11. So now the manufacturer is making 50 cents a piece and the seller's making 50 cents a piece, but now he's charging for shipping. And now all of those people who were selling your product are gone, and you're relying on that one company to sustain you. Now, here's what they do then. They go to China, and they find a pen that's similar to your pen that they can make for $6 a piece or $4 a piece or $2 a piece, and then they come in and they sell it for $8. Now, it looks exactly like your pen. It writes exactly like your pen. In fact, they copied your pen, but they're getting it done for 50 cents a day in labor over in China. So now they come in, they charge $7-$8 for it. Now they just put you out of business. You had the product. Now you're gone. Now this manufacturer now is bringing all this stuff in from China with no import tariffs on it. And this is what's happening, guys. This is what's happening. Because China has, they don't care about patents. They don't care. They'll take anything from anyone and knock it off and sell it globally through Amazon, through their websites, and send all of this hot material and it's all basically broken patents into the United States. They don't care. They really don't care. That's why, you know, you get into a situation where you got to support the local shops, the local retailers, the local mom and pops. It's like with Health Masters. We operate on about a 20 to 30% margin after our expenses. That's with me taking zero salary. I'm just being honest with you guys. It depends on what we do. Now, if we run a 10% sale, 33% of the gross profit just disappeared, and so it's gone. Now, I don't mind doing that every once in a while, but it's very difficult to basically earn an income doing that unless you're doing really large volume. That's why we're really, really careful that we're not putting our products on sale all the time because our products are so expensive to make. Yeah, I may spend $18 or $20 for a bottle of vitamins that they can get made in China with totally inferior products for half that. So they can cut their price down, and people say, well, this competes with Ted Brewer's product. No, it doesn't. Number one, you don't know how toxic it is. You don't know what chemicals they use. You know if it's full of lead. All of my stuff is tested for heavy metals. I pay to have all of this stuff done at an FDA-certified drug laboratory is where all of my stuff is made. Clean rooms. In fact, I've got a whole video thing that I was putting together, a montage, a collage of that. I need to put that together and put it online for everybody, Austin, that you and I did at one of our manufacturing facilities. And so somebody's got to pay for all of that so they can see the difference with my product compared to everything else. We're not some mom and pop in the basement shoveling stuff in a capsule. That's not what we are here. We're a top quality nutraceutical corporation. That's why we can produce a vitamin D3 K2 with 10,000 IUs of lanolin-based D3. Phenomenal products. So we have the highest quality supplements in the world. period. By the way, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, you're not going to believe this one, guys, spends $100 million a year, $100 million, ferrying illegal immigrant children around the U.S., the watchdog says. The federal agency that handles deportation spent more than $100 million of its money over the last few years to ferry illegal immigrant children around the U.S., according to calculations by a watchdog group. Government figures obtained by the Immigration Reform Law Institute and Open Records Request shows Immigration and Customs Enforcement spent an average of $665 per juvenile in 2014, with most of that going to the cost of airplane flights to shuttle the children among government agencies to relatives here in the U.S. or back to their home countries if they're deported, which is very, very rarely they're ever deported. At that rate, ICE will spend about $4.5 million just flying the children nabbed at the border in October, and somewhere north of $100 million since the surge since 2014. It's insult to injury on a massive scale, says Dale Wilcox, executive director of IRLI. He blamed the President Obama's 2012 deportation amnesty for young adult illegal immigrants, the so-called Dreamers, for the huge surge, saying it enticed tens of thousands, I will change that to millions, of new immigrants, particularly juveniles, to take the risk on making the trip. Instead of being sent back, they're shuttled among various federal agencies until they're eventually delivered to their parents, relatives, spouses, or sponsors. Guys, the thing about this is they've done teeth work on these guys over in Germany, and like 90% of them are full-grown adults when they claim they're children. Full-grown adult guys. I mean, shaving the whole bit. It's the whole deal, and we're being told the lie. Again, what do you think, Austin?
No, you're absolutely right. I've gone over detail in that as far as the bone structure, the hands, the fingers, the dental structure. They've done x-rays, all kinds of stuff on these kids over there, and they're finding out none of them, at least like hardly any of them, are under the age of 18. Usually they are saying between 70 to 80% of them that are claiming child asylum status, meaning they're under the age of 18, are not. Most of them are showing up anywhere with the x-ray scans, usually in their early to mid-20s. The problem is, too, when you go to Germany, it's hard to reference it because a lot of the Middle Eastern guys over there, they don't really age as much. That whole teenager, they look like adults when they're younger. When they're teenagers, when they go into puberty, they already start getting beards, so they look like they're older. Well, when they start getting in their 20s, they don't really age much because they've kind of looked the same since they were 14. So you have these kids that are like, well, I'm 17, you know, I'm childhood asylum status, I got a beard, but I've had it for 4 years. That's not abnormal over there. So a lot of them, they don't know what to do, so you believe them, let them in, and then they find out later these kids are 25 years old. The whole aspect of what we saw over in Europe was so embarrassing as far as their border control, because so many of the photos, Dave Hodges did a big article on this a while back, there were photos of these guys coming in on trains and coming in on foot, and it was literally like 95% adult males. And there was a meme they did on, and they said, wow, I guess the women and children stayed at home. They didn't need asylum in Europe. Only the adult men did. And it was kind of a joke, but it really wasn't. These guys are really coming over here. They're all military fighter age, and they're flooding into Europe literally by the millions. And it's like 80 to 90% men, adult men, that are coming in. Very, very few children. Very, very few women at all. So, yes, well, I don't doubt that at all. I saw that article too, that with ICE spending over $100 million since the end of 2014, moving these kids around, just moving them around, essentially moving them from place to place. This is an aspect that we have to stop with immigration. Everybody goes, well, it's our job as America. We need to do this. We need to be compassionate. I completely agree with you on that, and I understand the aspect of legal immigration. But when we're having to borrow money from the Federal Reserve and we're going up trillions of dollars in debt every year, higher and higher and higher, and we're continually spending hundreds of millions of dollars on people that do not contribute anything to this country, we have to take a step back, guys, and look at it and say, should we really continue this approach? Is this working for us, or should we try a different strategy? That's where Trump came in and said, this isn't working. We have terrorists coming in that we're bringing in that aren't even being vetted, and we're allowing them to come to this country with literally zero background checks. How do you background check somebody that has no Social Security, no birth certificate, no passport, and no fingerprints on record? They come in and they say, well, we vetted them properly. Really? How did you vet them? They have zero credentials. They don't even exist on the American public radar. How do you vet them against anybody? You don't. They tell you their names, Mahad, Mashim, Habub. Okay, well, 50,000 of those come up. So which one is it? Oh, no, no fingerprints match, no dentals match, no passport match, no birth certificate match. There's nothing. So we have the American population have to start coming together and realizing that legal, correct, positive, functional immigration for this country is the only thing we can allow further for the time being, if ever for the time being. This isn't feasible, Dad. This isn't feasible at all, and we have to start making some changes. That's why I was in such support of the way Trump handled all this and a lot of the things he said, even though all the illegals that were here were unbelievably mad about what he said because they don't want to get deported. Because, I mean, I can't blame them. You're making $30,000, $40,000 a year with free housing, free food, free cell phone, free education. You do absolutely nothing, contribute nothing, support nothing, build nothing. But hey, I guess I just pay enough in taxes to take care of everybody, so I don't have a say in any of that. That's basically what they think. But no, we definitely have to make some huge changes on our immigration, and I really hope that Trump stands firm on all that stuff.
Well, the biggest problem that we have in the country right now is race relations. I'm just telling you guys straight up.
Yeah.
And it's because of this blithering gay Kenyan in the White House, okay? This guy is not even black, number one. He's Arab, okay? And he's half white, half Arab, and, you know, like 10% black. So blacks automatically consider if you're 1% black, you're black. They don't care. And you say, well, I can't believe you're talking about blacks like that. I'm not talking about blacks. I'm telling you what blacks say. You say, well, how do you know blacks that well? I'm telling you, okay, let me go back to this. That's a good question. Here's an article by Reverend Austin Miles, and it was on the News with Views. You guys can look it up. It happened that he wrote it on December the 11th, and it said, NPR guest says that all Trump voters are racist. Let me repeat that. That means you and me, Austin, and all of our listeners who voted for Trump are racist, according to this NPR guest. Attica Locke is another successful black woman who is an author novelist and writer for the Fox drama empire, who complains about the put down of blacks by whites, as stated on NPR, National Public Radio, and she said, quote, that every Trump supporter is a racist. That is a broad statement, if there ever was one. Meanwhile, she lives in wealth and with more privilege than most whites. Yep, she sure is mistreated. Now, I'm going to stop here for just 1 second, because, you know, I've told you guys, if it's a Jew problem, we're going to call out the Jew problem. The guy's a Jew. If they're a black, we're going to call them out as a black. If they're a white, we're going to call them out as a black. If they're a Christian, we're going to call them out as a Christian. If they're a Muslim, they're going to call them out as a Muslim. Okay? I'm not doing this political correct crap anymore. Okay? I'm sick of it. Okay? I wasn't raised that way. You got to call it out for who it is. That's who's doing this. What are they? What is their core belief? What do they believe? Are they a Christian? Are they a Muslim? Are they Hindu? Are they a Buddhist? Are they a Jewish folk? Are they Jewish? Are they black? Are they white? Are they purple? Are they green? Are they Chinese? Who cares? So we can't say anything about this. Now, I'm going to say this to you guys very, very clearly. I do everything I can to be colorblind with everybody that I meet. And that's a fact. And Austin knows that's true. And, you know, when we have a party here at the house, we invite a lot of our black friends along with our white friends, along with we've actually invited Muslim friends over. We've done all of this stuff, right? I've done all of this in the past. And years ago, I had a black workout partner. His name's Van Green, former NFL football player, was drafted by the NFL either 72 or 73 by Buffalo, and then also was drafted into, he played for other one. I think it was Cleveland Browns. And you can look him up. You'll see he's back in the 70s. And he worked out with me for 8 years here at the house. And then gradually I ended up having a shoulder injury, so we couldn't train together anymore. So he moved on, went back to the gym. But he's a good friend. And I mean, he really is. In fact, he bought one of Austin's trucks when Austin sold it years ago and is still driving it. I mean, the guy is just a really class act guy. He's a pastor. He's really, really nice. And years ago, Van and I are having protein shakes every day. We're pretty tight. And one day he just started working out with me. This is a funny story. I talk about in my fat loss book. Van had not worked out a couple of years, but remember, he's an NFL athlete. So he's like fine tuned as an athlete. It's crazy. In fact, I told him one time, I said, Van, I will say this to you and take this correctly. I said, genetically, physically, you're superior to me as an athlete. And he looked at me and goes, really? I said, yeah, you're just genetically superior. I said, I don't know what to say. I said, you can run faster, do more pull-ups, do everything I've ever seen than I ever could when I was in my peak physical condition You were a former NFL player. You're one of the top athletes in the world. He goes, well, thanks, Ted. I said, you're welcome. I said, it's just the truth. Well, he hadn't worked out in a few years. And he came to the house one day, and we worked out and had a real easy workout. He came back the next day, and I said, and he said basically to me, and I'm just going to talk. We kind of talked to it like this. This is how I took it. He goes, look, white boy, here's the thing. I don't really think that you can push me that hard in the gym, so why don't we see what we can do? And I said, okay. So I put into a full-blown leg workout. I mean, I'm talking supersets now. It's like 24 sets of supersets on legs, including squats. We're in the house, and I mean, I'm like wore out. I'm about to pass out. And I'm making him a protein shake. And I look over at him. He looks kind of, you could tell his color was kind of off. But, you know, with black folks, they don't have light skin. See, when I get pasty, I look like I'm white like a sheet, right? Like I'm like Casper the Ghost walking around. But you can't really tell that with Van, but I could tell he wasn't acting quite right. I said, Van, I said, you need to go. We got a little couch on the back porch, a little credenza back there. Why don't you go lay down back there on the back porch, and I'll bring you a protein shake. And I turned around, and I looked at him. He stood up and collapsed on the floor and went unconscious on the floor. True story, guys. Austin remembers it. On the floor, totally out. And so I ran over and grabbed the pillow because we have tile floors. I grabbed the pillow and put the pillow under his head. And I'm trying to get him to wake up thinking the guy died on my floor, right, because of the leg workout. And finally he comes to and he starts waking up. And he starts looking at me. He starts laughing. He's still laying on the floor. I'm laughing at him. He's laughing at me. My wife walks in. She thinks we're both nuts, okay, because this is big black guy's like 6'3", laying out, stretched out on the doggone floor, you like unconscious, comatose, coming out of his fainting spell. And so I wrote this whole story in my book. You can read it. And what's funny is, you know, he and I are just really good friends. And it was so, I won't tell you the whole story, but we're just good friends. And so what happened is I remember a couple of years, he worked out here for 8 years, I went on a cruise down to the Caribbean. And there was a college professor there, a black college professor that had done a PhD in like black studies or whatever. And I'm okay with that. If you want to be a college professor, they want to teach that stuff, which is totally useless to learn if you're trying to get a job, but at least you can talk about culture, etc. And then she had written a book about seeing life through a prism of color, some type of book like that. She had a copy of the book with her, and she was a professor, and I was a college professor for years. And so I started talking to her. And then I told her, and she says, well, you know, then she starts basically saying that I was a racist. And I looked at her, and I said, why do you say crap like that? I said, I'm being nice to you. I said, I'm talking to you. And she goes, well, when's the last time you had a black person over to your house to eat dinner? And I said, like last week before the cruise with Van Green. And she goes, oh. And she didn't know what to say. And she goes, well, obviously you're different. I'm like, different? I said, why does everybody have to be a racist? Why does everybody have to be a racist? My God, you don't like Trans-Pacific Partnership, you're a racist. You don't like Obamacare, you're a racist. And see, they played that stupid card so much when the Gay Canyon got in the White House that now it doesn't work anymore. Nobody wants to listen to it anymore. And so this person from the NPR radio network coming out and saying, you're a racist if you voted for Trump? Pooey on you is all I got to say to you, idiot. You're the racist. You're the one that's living in opulence as an international best-selling author or whatever you do according to this article, and you're basically putting all black people down like they can't get up and grab their own bootstraps and pull themselves up. Newsflash! Though he was 50% white, 25% Muslim or whatever he is, he's got black in him. You guys claim your first black president. Look at Oprah Winfrey. Look at all the NFL athletes and all the NBA athletes and these advanced athletes who make all of this money all of the time and the incredible opportunity they have. Some of the top attorneys in the world are black. Some of the top neuroscientists and brain surgeons like Dr. Ben Carson are black. Get a newsflash. This isn't 1930 anymore. We don't have the KKK setting up crosses and yards, and we don't lynch people. Everything's changed. You guys need to change with the time and stop using this as your mantra to try to get ahead in life. Every time somebody says something to you, it's because you're a racist. No, we're not racist. We're not racist. We just have had enough of being politically correct. I'm not willing to do that anymore. Look, white people, they're trying to get rid of the white people. I like being white. If I was black, I'd like being black. If I was Hispanic, I'd like being Hispanic. What are you supposed to do when you were born into a race? Are you supposed to not to like yourself? It's complete nonsense. But we need to be able to call a person for what they are and say, you've got a bias because of how you were raised, because of the cultural biases that you have because of how you were raised, and we need to look at this. If you're a Muslim and you like to mutilate girls and cut their clitorises off and basically that would be like a pedilectomy is what you do to a guy by doing that. If you want to do that, That ain't okay with me. I'm not cool with that. That's not something you need to do to women. If you go take and throw gay guys, queer guys off of buildings, that ain't cool. Let's try to get the guy saved. Let's try to get him right. Let's try to get him right with the Lord. You don't know he's going to kill him. This is stupid. And guys, this is the thing. We got to start talking about what's going on. If the four horsemen of the apocalypse in the banking centers are primarily these international banking cartels, we got to call them out for who they are and what they are. We can't pretend like they don't exist. That's the problem with political correctness. In Germany now, the leading news station in all of Germany absolutely refused to report that story that I did last week about that girl being raped and murdered and found in the river. And that's this article. It says, anger is German news show says migrant arrest over teen murder is too regional to cover. A major news program has caused outrage for refusing to report on the arrest of a Muslim over the murder of a German teenage girl because the story was too regional despite making headlines around the world. Guys, we've got to stop this crap. Excuse my language. That's what it is. It's crap. And not telling the truth of what truth is. That's how we got ourselves into this stupid mess, and we've got this do-nothing Congress that likes to screw little boys up in Washington, a bunch of stinking pedophile, wacko, nutbag, drug alcoholic, completely compromised people who run the planet in Washington. And guys, you know I'm right. Everybody who's listening knows I'm right. Look at that mess up there with Pizzagate and the pedophile rings that we've talked about. This isn't going away, and it's not going to go away until we start calling it out for what it is. We can't do that because we're alternative news, and we can't tell the truth because if you tell the truth, it's not true. It's a lie. It's not a lie. We've got a major, major problem with this in Washington, D.C. and around the world. Now, I'm going to be doing a Hagman show. I'm started working on it now on December 22nd for 3 hours, right before Christmas. And I'm going to uncover, and I'm going to tell you why they do this to these children, where it came from, who taught them to do it, and why they do it. This show's going to blow your mind. Now, I don't like talking about this stuff. You guys know that. But whenever I expose it and I do an expose on it, I'm going to do it completely. I'm going to name names of the royal family in England. I'm going to talk about all of this stuff and what they've done with Jerry Savelle and all the rest of these nutbags that they have over there. Not Jerry Savelle, there's the other Savelle guy over there. But that guy who's a pedophile over there who works for the royal family to bring them people and children. We're going to expose all of that. Because, guys, if we can expose it and tell the truth, then we can make sure it doesn't happen here. What do you think, Austin?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's why we do the show.
That's
right. To wake people up. To bring them the knowledge that maybe they haven't seen, that obviously the mainstream media isn't doing. The mainstream media, all they want to do is basically tell us that we're fake, tell InfoWars that we're fake, tell Hagman that we're fake, and they do this. They're doing the full-blown psyop on the American population. As I told you guys last week, the conspiracy theory term is no longer applies because everybody's starting to rule out these conspiracies aren't theories. They're actual facts. They're more conspiracy facts, but if they're a fact, they're not conspiracy. So they know this now, so the term doesn't work anymore from a psychological operation standpoint. So they're using the term fake news. I mean, we just see now that the Senate, essentially, I think they passed the Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act, the thing that they're trying to get passed Congress now, to essentially give the government carte blanche access to shut down sites if they say, no, this is basically propaganda that we don't agree with, this is fake news, or this is being fueled by Russian intelligence, so we're basically going to shut your show down, we're going to shut your radio down, we're going to shut your website down, because you're basically inciting propaganda via Russia insiders. It's all nonsense. It's all a ploy to try and keep everybody in a bubble, like Dad said before, like mushrooms kept in the dark and shoveled poop on top of them. The perfect analogy, because that's exactly what the mainstream media does. They keep everybody in the complete and total darkness and then shovel feces on everybody's heads and say, oh, that's good for you. You like that. You want more of it. It's good for you. GMOs are good for you. Vaccines are required because they're good for you. Fluoridation's good for you so you don't get cavities. All this stuff is good for you. You listen to us. You listen to the government. You obey us. That's what you're supposed to do. That's the lie they want everybody to believe. They cannot have any type of alternative media like ourselves or Hagman or Hodges online, on radio, on television, anywhere, telling people otherwise. So they have to do this now, and they found the term fake news has caught on, and they're trying to do this. Now, in other terms, too, is that was just talking about China a few minutes ago. I want to kind of touch base back with that again, is the USDA now has just approved the that a U.S. meat company with poultry can ship our meat to China to have it processed, to have it shipped back. Now, this is already being done before with fish and seafood. Now they've approved it for poultry. Now, if you guys have done any research, you see companies already currently, like Seattle-based Trident Seafood Company, routinely ship fish and crabs to China for processing, including deboning of salmon. The Chinese labor cost is around a fifth of what it is in the U.S. For example, there are 36 pin bones in a salmon, a full-size salmon fish, and the best way to remove them is really from hand. If you've ever deboned a salmon like that with a thick fillet, they're real small bones. Well, Trident has now found that they ship about 30 million pounds of their 1 billion harvest to China now, which isn't a huge amount, but still a significant portion. 30 million pounds of salmon is a lot. And they found that somewhere it costs around a dollar per pound per labor in the United States to get the pin bones removed. So for every pound of salmon, it costs about a dollar to get them removed. In China, it costs 20 cents per pound. Again, a fifth of the cost. So now what the USDA has just done is they've given poultry companies the go-ahead, the legal go-ahead, to essentially ship their poultry to China to have it processed and shipped back. Now, first off, the first aspect that concerns me is how do we know we're even getting our own poultry back? How do we know we're not getting some Chinese stuff with full of lead and all types of toxic chemicals from stuff they've been raising in their Chinese swamps over there, their toxic pools, and shipping it back us to us? The second aspect is the concern with having frozen chicken processed, refrozen, repackaged, and reshipped back to the United States. And so nobody really knows why the USDA isn't doing this, but again, the same thing we talked about before. Everything is designed for profits, and we're shipping it over to China. That's why it's so important, guys, if you have the ability to do so, when you go to buy something, to the best of your ability, especially if it's a large purchase, try and make sure it's made in the USA, made by Americans. I've been doing this significantly for the last year, year and a half. I've been really, really, really trying to do it. Because the whole thing we're seeing now is all this stuff is getting outsourced to Mexico, to China, overseas, the Philippines. And the problem is we can't function like this, guys. We have to start bringing stuff back. If it costs a little bit more money, that's fine. If we get the economy growing more, we can all make more money, and it completely evens itself out. But like what Dad was saying, this is what these companies do now. They undercut the manufacturers. Then when the manufacturers won't budge anymore on their price because they're manufactured in the U.S., they take the product and have it knocked off on China, knocked off over in China for, you know, 25 cents on the dollar, 20 cents on the dollar, turn around, ship it back to the United States, completely put that American company out of business, and support China that much further. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, American poultry processors currently make about $11 on hour on average. Now, that's not a huge amount of money per hour, but it's still significant. I mean, as far as you can still make decent money if you're working overtime, but it's not a huge amount for the manufacturers that are processing the poultry. Well, they found now, here's the thing, Chinese workers currently earn anywhere between 90 cents to $2 an hour doing the exact same thing with poultry. This is why the USDA just allowed this to happen. So now we're going to start seeing our poultry processing jobs being outsourced to China, shipping our meat to China, getting who knows what back. Who knows if it's even going to be chicken. It may be cat. I mean, there's no way to even really tell unless you start doing DNA testing on it, if they're doing stuff like just cut up chicken strips and stuff like that. So this is why it's so important, guys, that we have to start supporting American labor, American work, and bring the stuff back to America, as Trump has said so many times, Dad.
Well, I'm going to say something that's going to just freak you guys out a little bit, and I'm just going to be real blunt with it because this is speculation on my part because you don't know what you're getting. I know that they have entire factories for human organs in China, that they take people that are peasants or criminals or whatever, and they keep them alive in these slave factories, and they have them DNA typed, and they harvest their organs. They harvest their organs, and they send the organs all over the world, like, you know, just fresh. And they do that, and they basically make huge amounts of money by trafficking human body parts. Now, here's the thing I'm going to say to you guys. It sounds really weird, but you can't prove that I'm wrong on this. China doesn't really have any industrial standards as far as their meats and everything else that we know. What are they doing with all the dead human bodies? Are they finding their way back into our ground-up beef from China that we're buying and all the stuff? I have no idea. Here's the thing. You don't either. You don't either. If they value human life that little, unless you're doing DNA testing on the beef, you don't know where it's coming from, what's in it, what DNA's in it. You say, well, they wouldn't do that. Okay. I hope you're right. I'm not saying they do that. But what I'm saying is this. You don't know. You don't know what you're getting when you bring it out of China. That place is nasty. I was over there years ago. I took a cruise ship into Shanghai. I'll never forget this. Sharon and I went on like a 2-week cruise. We had like, it was a honeymoon thing, not a honeymoon, like an anniversary thing. And we had like a 2-week cruise, and we went to Japan and China and Hong Kong, and then we ended up in Beijing. I wanted to see the Great Wall of China, one of my things on my goal list for my life. And I remember we sailed into Hong Kong. I'll never forget this, Austin. In fact, it was kind of crazy because, actually no, it was in Shanghai. We sailed into Shanghai. We flew into Hong Kong. We sailed into Shanghai, and about 40 miles out to sea, we had sea fog roll in. And I thought, wow, this is a lot of sea fog. And we literally went through sea fog with the horn of the boat the whole time. I mean, 40, 50 miles out into the ocean, sea fog. And finally, the captain gets in on the ship and he says, this isn't sea fog. This is a pollution wave coming off the coast of China from their coal-powered factory plants that they have there that basically don't use scrubbers on the stacks, the smokestacks. So all of this particulate matter is in the air. And so you won't have more than 100 yards visibility. And when you go to shore, we recommend you take a washcloth from your stateroom and that you keep it wet. And if you have any type of health or lung problems, that you breathe through it to prevent the particulates from going into your lungs. And I'm like, what the heck am I on this trip for? It's like a trip from hell. What is this? This is awful. And so sure enough, we got off the ship the next day. The entire ship is covered in coal ash the next morning. It sat there for like a day and a half on port. They had to get out there with the buckets and the scrubbers and clean the whole ship up because it was covered in coal ash. 100-foot visibility in some areas. It was so bad. When they had the Beijing Olympics, they had to like stop the traffic, turn the factories off, turn the coal-powered plants off for a week before they had the Beijing Olympics because it was so polluted and they didn't want people to see how bad it was. We tried to take pictures of the Great Wall of China. You couldn't see but a few hundred yards of it even out in the country because it was all shrouded with clouds. So I finally had to use like postcards in our photo album to show what the Great Wall of China looked like because there was no visibility. Guys, that's how they live. So you have no idea. They take their prisoners and they cut their organs out. They have that little respect. We are not dealing with a Christian nation over there. We are not dealing with a Christian nation. We're dealing with a communist nation that wants nothing to do with God. They persecuted the Buddhists and all these people for decades now in that country. They don't want them over there. They want to be godless. They want no recourse from a moral standpoint. That's who we're dealing with. That's why they had to put suicide nets outside of the Apple factories because the people were so despondent after working 16, 18-hour days and their fingers were bleeding putting together Apple iPhones and iPads. They started diving out of the windows and committing suicide. And it was so bad from a PR standpoint for Apple, they had to put giant suicide nets, like trampoline nets, outside. So when they dive out of the windows, they get caught in the nets and they can't kill themselves. You talk about a life stoked in hell. That's what you get. When you don't have Jesus Christ living in your life and you have a state-run government that tells you what to think and what to do. I've got a friend of mine who lives there right now, got a long-term cough because of that. He basically is awful living over there, he says. And he said the pollution is so bad that nobody even knows what to do because of all the lung diseases. Guys, do you really want to get your products from there? And oh, by the way, new study just came out says that the life expectancies in the United States are starting to drop. Not go up, they're starting to drop. That's because they're starting to not skew the statistics anymore. It says the latest official U.S. life expectancy numbers paint a relatively grim picture for our nation. For the first time in a decade, this is a lie, our death rate increased from the year before. Actually, it's not the first time. It's been going down, down, down. They lie, lie, lie. Guys, the drugs are killing people. The immunizations are killing people. When you have a whole bunch of kids get the Gardasil shot or the flu shot and they die from it, it factors into the age statistics. If they took the death rates, if they took the children that they're killing with abortion, over 1 million children a year are dying through abortion. We have one of the highest infant death rates of any industrialized country in the United States. So we have a lot of babies die from the immunizations and from SIDS, which are primarily caused, in my opinion, from immunizations. If you factor those death rates in that we don't have because the babies were killed through abortion, our life expectancy would be one of the lowest in the world. It would be marginally lower than it is right now. It's because of that. We killed the baby. So this, in other words, if you have a baby die at 1 and you have a person live to be 100, the average life expectancy is 50. That's how it works. And so when you bring down, when you take that bottom number to 0, you keep dragging it down, dragging it down, dragging it down, you lower life expectancy rates. Now the fluoride is finally catching up. The Gardasil is finally catching up. The flu shots are finally catching up. The tricyclic antidepressants are finally catching up. The statin drugs are finally catching up. And people are starting to die. People are starting to go senile. And people are dying left and right in the United States. Plus, we've got a bunch of baby boomers now that are getting older that are dying. I've got so many people that I know that are in their 40s and 50s and 60s that are on death's door waiting to die, all kinds of diseases, heart disease, diabetes, cancer, this goes on and on and on, 10, 15, 20 prescription drugs. Why? Number one, they don't want to listen to us on our talk show. They don't want to do that. And number two, when you talk to them individually, they don't want to listen to you because they know everything or they believe that their doctor is God, and they're not going to not listen to God because they believe their doctor is God. Let me tell you something, guys. If we take care of our bodies are going to stay healthy. Now, when you get saved, your body isn't saved as far as from death. It's not unless Christ comes back before you check out. It's still going to age and it's still going to deteriorate. But you can massively slow that down by eating the right foods and taking the right supplements. So when they come out with studies like this saying that death rates are going up and age expectancy is going down, yeah, duh. Duh. They should have factored all that stuff in when they started dumping fluoride into the doggone water supply back in the 40s. Read the book by Yami Yates, Fluoride, the Aging Factor. You can get it online for like a penny a piece. They're a phenomenal book. It's written back in the 80s, and it'll give you a really good idea of what fluoride does to you, how toxic it is to you. It's a horrible, horrible product, and it needs to be completely eliminated out of your diet. So, guys, yes, the death rate's going up. Life expectancy is going down, and the quality of life in our country has massively plummeted since the 40s, back when my grandfather, back in the 50s and 60s and the 80s, could go out and rake the yard when he's in his 80s and have tremendous energy and walk around the block every night and just have tremendous output and energy and want to work all the time, even in his 80s. Those days are gone, except for some of the folks that are still old because they were raised on natural foods. My generation, the baby boomer generation, we were the first generation to be raised almost entirely on junk food and pizzas and Pringles and all kinds of junk and McDonald's, all this trash garbage food. And my generation is the sickest generation this country's ever produced, except for our children who are even more sick, except for their children who are coming down with huge, huge rates of autism and ear infections. And by the way, we just came out with a chewable product that is an acidophilus product that helps to stop ear infections in kids who can't swallow vitamins. It's chewable. Phenomenal product. Tell them about that product, Austin.
Oh, yeah. This is basically, we've been trying to figure out something that we could get from a chewable standpoint, because like Dad said, a lot of kids don't like to swallow vitamins. I got that. That's why we got the chewable multivitamin yummy bears. That's why we have the chewable soft gel DHA capsules, or we also have the cod liver oil. Well, this is basically a child's probiotic. It's strawberry flavored, and you can chew it up. You just chew it up. It tastes pretty good. I've tried them. It's got a natural strawberry flavor to it. It really helps natural immune defense, specifically with the ears, nose, and throat. Really helps out with a healthy immune system. And what it does is it's a specific probiotic. I don't have it in front of me right now. If you guys want to go on the website at healthmasters.com, you can read about it in detail. It's called Children's Probiotic. That simple. But what it does is it's specifically designed to help out with strep throat, sore throat, ear infections, sinus infections. And like I said, it's been one of the best products that we've tested and tried with ear infections. A lot of this stuff, guys, is because of the massive overuse of antibiotics. I've told you guys this before and many times. when your kid gets sick, if he gets a runny nose or a cold or an ear infection, don't put him on antibiotics. The biggest reason you need antibiotics, if you have some type of massive bacterial infection, if you have some surgery and it gets infected, then you need to go on antibiotics. No questions asked. But because you get a runny nose, don't go on antibiotics. And these kids are doing this repeatedly now. And I told Dad, I said, we need something that's going to work clinically to help out with a easy-to-use, chewable probiotic that's going to address the actual base issue. Most people don't realize one of the main reasons why these kids get so many ear infections is because of the positive bacteria balance is completely void in their body. They go on the antibiotics the first time they get sick, which is usually 6-7 months old. They immediately go on antibiotics. Their good bacteria completely is wiped out, immediately, done, doesn't exist. Well, it may kill off some of the bad bacteria with the antibiotics. That works. But then what happens is when they come off the antibiotics, majority of time, the good bacteria starts to slowly come back up, and the good bacteria is completely wiped out. So you have to look at this from what's actually happening in their body from a physiological standpoint. This probiotic helps to address it from the base and gives them a super strong good bacteria that helps to fight off the infections from ear infections, sinus infections, strep throat, those sort of things that are so common with children. So it's a pretty popular product. Go give it a try on our website. It's healthmasters.com. It's under Children's Probiotic. We manufactured it. It's not cheap manufactured, but I told Dad I wanted to keep it at a decent price point so pretty much any family can afford it. It's about $19.99 for a box, which is 30 chewable tabs. They can stay on it pretty much indefinitely if they want to, but most people we've found usually need it for about 2 to 3 months on end for most children, and it shows pretty good results at that point. Like I said, if you want to stay on it longer, it's completely okay, and it usually has better effects the longer that you're on it. So that's one product that I wanted to showcase and bring up today that we're basically releasing on the show because it's so positive. So, yeah, Dad, I'm glad you brought that up because I had notes on it, but I got so many papers on my desk right now, I forgot to bring it up.
Well, the thing about it is that when you take antibiotics, it kills all the bacteria. They don't care. It basically kills all of it. And so then what happens is the bad bacteria always finds a way to come back. And the good bacteria is gone, so you're overrun with the bad bacteria. Well, I think I hear some music playing, so I know we're going short on time. So God bless you guys. Oh, by the way, thank you for your comments on the show from last Friday. Wow, did I get the comments. You guys love that show. So if you didn't hear it, I talk about the blood of Christ, and I kind of preached a little bit for about a half an hour. You guys will really like it, so thank you. We love you guys, and I'm wishing you a wonderful Christmas season, and we appreciate you. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us and supporting us and being here to listen every day. God bless you. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yes, guys, we appreciate everything. Check us out, healthmasters.com. You need anything, give us a call, email us. Check out that children's probiotic. If it fits your needs, give it a try and give us some feedback on it. We're definitely eager to hear how it works for everybody. Healthmasters.com. COQ10 is also on sale as product of the week. That will be ending Wednesday morning as always. And whatever else is winning will win at that point, and it'll change over. But CoQ10 is on sale in our Ubiquinol form. So check it out, healthmasters.com. You guys have a safe, blessed night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.